This is RSVB Update, episode 516, recorded Friday, May 8th, 2015. The Carousel Horse. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVB Update. Joining us this week, two of the informers from RSVB Informer, Colton.
Hello.
Our newest writer. First time being on the show as a writer, so welcome.
Thank you.
And, of course, Mr. Bistro, who you guys have heard from before and received so many great reviews after your last performance on here, Mr. Bistro. So, well done.
Hello, all.
Keep it up. I'm setting the bar high here, so you gotta act.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Alrighty, so not much of an update this week. Patches and whatnot, as seems to be the going trend for the rest of May here. As we know, you know, this is the kind of update schedule we are looking at. As we saw in the May behind the scenes, it's going to look a lot like April did. I'm not sure if people are complaining about that once again, but that's neither here nor there. This week focuses on the community and the RuneScape road trip, where you can win some great prizes from Jagex. Anyone interested in actually filling out and, you know, competing in these little competitions for a chance to win?
No.
Not in particularly.
My thoughts exactly. Maybe this might change if you knew the prize. Cooler Master headset, mouse, and keyboard, 5 bonds, and your choice of an item from the JX store.
Maybe items from JX store, but that still requires me doing work on RuneScape that I would rather be spending on other stuff that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And this one is a little more, I don't know, it seems a little more difficult than the other competitions they've done, because they've given away stuff like, didn't they give away an Alienware laptop at one point? And it was basically all you had to do was like the Facebook page and share So this is requires a little more effort on the player's part.
They're going to be taking place on the forums, Reddit and Tumblr. Balance and Kalaya are on the forums, so you just go to the road trip forum for that, apparently. For example, here we got one of them from Mod of Matty, I guess you'd call it. It's basically an anagram, cryptogram thing that you can solve. And then if you solve this, once you do that, you can enter yourself to win one of these prizes. So, I mean, okay, I guess it's an interesting way of engaging the community, but my question is, how does this help out the game of RS? It seems too disjointed for me. It's not a part of the actual game itself.
Yeah, I mean, each of the three different competitions, I guess if you could call them, are all on very different and very loosely joined sites. It doesn't seem, and it's not getting the word out or anything. It's sort of just doing it within the community just for fun, I guess.
Yeah,
I think it's a good way for Jagex to cover their bases, but they could have done something to put them together a little bit better.
And a question I have is, are people even, you know, interested in working on this? Because the last one here that was posted earlier today, well, yesterday now on Jagex time, only has 8 replies on the topic.
Oh my gosh.
It's the cryptogram one. So
anagrams are hard, though, Shane. People have trouble with that.
Okay. I guess. I mean, I see anagrams and cryptograms as a fun puzzle, but maybe not. Like, the next one, it looks kind of like a crossword, word search kind of deal, and that one has 45 posts on it, and that one was posted on the 1st of May. So maybe that one's a little bit more accessible, but... I mean, you got to remember that the people at Jagex are, you know, programmers, algorithms type people, so a cryptogram really ain't that hard for them. But, so across the board here, none of us are competing in this. And, I mean, I can see why they're doing it, to raise awareness of the RS road trip, but you log into game, you get a notification. You see the news posting, you get a book that has the RS road trip item in it. So it's not, you know, as though people can't find out about this, I think. So I don't know. I think if they're going to, you know, want to advance the community and do competitions and whatnot like this, it needs to happen organically in game and not on third party websites like Reddit and Tumblr. That's my take on it.
I guess, but I mean, given that, especially, and even though you don't like that fact, Shane, r/RuneScape, it is one of the more vibrant of the RuneScape community. So I guess it's good that they do at least pay a little bit of attention to the subreddit. I mean, they got to keep them in somehow.
That's true. That's very true. All right. Anything else on the competitions?
No.
Yeah, it seems as though us and other people are just, you know, concerned with more tangible things, so to speak. But anyways, let us move on to the patch notes for this week. A couple of interesting things popped up for me. First things first, Aegis Aura had its damage absorption increased to 80k. And custom keybinds will no longer trigger incorrectly when typing in chat with the legacy interface. And as you guys might recall from last week's episode, this was one of the bugs that was, you know, initially reported in the beta by me and probably others, and it made it to the live game somehow. But it's been fixed. I was actually, you know, hoping that I wouldn't, you know, have to keep running a timer how many episodes since this was first mentioned, but getting something like this fixed in a week is really good. I'm happy with that.
I'm glad you're happy, Shane.
Yeah, because, I mean, bugs and Jagex, that's something that always happens, right? And sometimes they persist for a long, long time. I'm not sure which one I'm talking about, but I'm sure the community can think of a few of the bugs that have persisted for a long time, can't you guys? Yes.
Yes.
All right. The Make X interface will now account for items that players have in their legendary pet Beast of Burden interface.
Wait, what?
I'll say that again. The Make X interface will now account for items players have in their legendary pet Beast of Burden inventory.
So, the Beast of Burden inventory. Now if so, say you're making out of logs, you have logs in your Beast of Burden inventory, and you have logs in your inventory, and you want to make, I don't know, you unstrung shield bows, does it automatically fletch the ones in your Beast of Burden as well?
Mm-hmm. For legendary pets.
Yep.
When did that happen?
This week.
Oh. Okay.
Compared to the normal Beast of Burden, where that can't happen.
Oh, okay. So, all right. That makes sense.
And you can have, you know, you use a pack yak pouch on your legendary pet, and there you go. You got an extra 30 inventory spots where you can do make hacks.
Do you have any legendary pets, Shane?
No. I didn't buy one. And, you know, maybe now would be a good time to buy one.
They seem to be getting better and better.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm not normally one to, you know, rally against pay to win and that kind of thing. And I don't think this is pay to win out there as bad as it could be, but this is kind of pushing the limit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that and action bars, but that's a discussion for later.
Yes.
I think both of those are discussions for later.
Okay. All right. Yes. I see we actually do have a question about that, but I honestly don't think this is a, you know, it's a nice to have, but it's kind of pushing it. So
yeah,
I would have brought that out to all the other beasts of burden as well if I was gonna do that.
Yeah, at least the pack yak. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, speaking of pets, all pets are now prevented from entering the Lumbridge Crater. Finally.
Aww.
It took them long enough.
You know, this was a problem on the first day of last year's road trip. And I don't know why it wasn't a fix the next week last year, but it continued to happen. Then every other time we'd gather in the Lumbridge Crater from here on in, oh, pets are a problem causing server lag. Well, the obvious solution is to just prevent them from entering, and a year later, we finally did. So, it's nice. I remember... Hey.
Golden Chimchampa.
Aw, well, you don't need that thing, do you?
No, but it's the only one I have.
What did you name yours?
I think I named him, like, Lumpy or something.
Mine's a watering can.
Wait, that would be your troll, right, Shane?
I thought the Golden Chinchampa was the one that got the name from whatever you fed it.
I thought that was the...
Shane just names everything after farming.
Doesn't matter if it's allowed or not.
Not quite, but yes, you're right. I guess that is the troll when you come to think of it, since the trolls are named after the first thing that they eat. All right. The Queen Black Dragon activating artifact... and Dragonfire Shield soaking animations will no longer momentarily stop players from moving.
Hmm.
That's a good fix. I think this has been an issue for quite some time. I mean, it's not necessarily something you encounter every time, but if you get hit by the Dragonfire, you can definitely take a bit extra damage that you don't want to take because if you're, you know, maximizing the amount of damage you do anytime you're stopped is not good. Mm-hmm. Anything else from you guys in the patch notes?
The Dungeoneering Featherless aura thing? Yeah.
Oh, that works now down there. That's good, I guess.
Oh, that's more than good. It means I won't have to quit out of the dungeons that require any fishing puzzles.
You can just, you know, buy... the feathers at the start point of the dungeon, but...
No, that's too much work for me.
Wow. Okay.
I will right-click it for my reward, but I will not buy the feathers.
So
I don't think you have to right-click for the reward anymore, either.
What?
Yeah, it automatically, like, gives you the runes, at least from what I've had.
So you've had dungeons where you've backed out because you didn't have feathers.
Well, yeah. I do Dungeoneering for fun. It's the only skill that's not maxed out for me.
All right. Well. I don't know. That's back to the aquarium. But anything for you, Colton, in there?
Oh, yeah. Corrected erroneous references to Elvarg being male in the player's song about her during chat with the Longhole Bouncer during the Frenmic Trials. Glad to see that they are correcting lore inconsistencies, even if it is for a quest. When was the Frenmic Trials released? 10 years ago?
06 or 07, I believe.
Wow.
Or maybe 2005. Yeah.
I think it was 2006.
Yeah, that was a quest a long time ago. Yeah. And you know, that's the only time that your player got to sing.
Thank God for that.
And you know, they could add a voiceover for that now if they wanted to. That would certainly be a cheap voiceover they could do. I mean, you could have an option, randomly assigned an option based on your name, have it, you know, swap between Mod Mark, Mod Osborne, and Mod Infinity, maybe. And, I mean, that would be an interesting way of getting J-Mods into the game and just having a good laugh, because that's what that song was all about.
We already have Mod Osborne in the game in a few places.
Yeah, Elfborn.
Uh-huh.
Alrighty. Anything else in the patchy notes, then?
Not for me.
Alright. How about you, Mr. Bistro?
No, I'm good.
All right. There is one thing I would also like to mention in the patch notes, specifically pertaining to player-owned ports, and that the previously selected crew member will now be unselected when re-rolling crew for hire in player-owned ports. That's nice. For those of you guys who go to ports often, I don't know if you guys do ports, do you?
I haven't done it for months. It's in disrepair.
You should. You should.
I should. I should do a lot of things.
I stopped doing ports as soon as I got all of the actual, like, armor sets. I didn't get any of the additional stuff, like the cape or anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I got my tetsu and sort of just, meh, after that.
Yeah, I mean, there are better options out there for capes and rings and whatnot. You don't exactly need the ports one, so can't blame me there. But all right, there's your patch notes this week, everyone. And now we're going to move straight on to talk about something we were given for free this week, and that is one extra action bar.
Yay!
Hooray.
Did you guys need it?
Actually, yes.
All right, what's it going to be used for?
It's going to be used for a dungeoneering tab, because all my other ones have been used for range, mage, and melee for either slayer tasks or specific boss raids.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. I'm actually going to use it in terms of having a melee AoE setup, because I have the, you know, the standard dual wield, and then I also like having an AoE setup, and I need to change out abilities from time to time if I'm going to do that, because I also have ranged magic and another magic one. I forget what my second magic one was for. Or no. I'm sorry. Yes. I have ranged magic, slayer, Queen Black Dragon, and dual wield magic. That's what I have. So yes, I wanted to add an AoE melee one to that. So I will be using the sixth one. You know, so I have mine at a point where I don't remember exactly what they're called. I just know which buttons to press and what to use them for based on how they look from the icons at this point. That's how I do it. But
yeah, I mean, back when I was doing more combat type stuff, I know I wanted more, but at this point, I've kind of neglected the action bars, and it's nice to see that they're an option. And I even though, and again, we can talk about the MTX side of this later, but I'm glad that they at least gave us one for free, because it at least damped the response from the players that was not so positive.
Because the cost is 120 rune coins or 100,000 loyalty points.
Which I don't see why that's a problem, because I mean, the more options, the harder it is to even learn the thing. So with 100k loyalty points, stacking that up with your RuneScape membership is just something you gain as you learn.
Like, yeah. I have over 400,000 loyalty points right now, so I could easily just buy all four, and then, because it's a maximum of 10, so I could just buy all four and have 10, but I don't want to, so I'm not going to. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just like the buy it as you need it. That's how I use for the action bars and for the bank boosters.
Yeah, that's an interesting point about bank boosters. And also, speaking of the bank, preset slots, you rent those with loyalty points. I'm surprised you don't rent action bars with loyalty points. You actually get to keep these.
I'm glad they didn't do that, though. I think that would have caused even more of an uproar.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to enjoy using those. That's good. Also, just going back to the patch notes for a couple of seconds here. Legacy fans will be pleased to hear that WASD camera controls have been re-enabled. I don't use the WASD camera controls. I still use the arrows. How about you guys?
I use the mouse.
Okay, that's good.
The scrolly wheel.
I could never get the mouse to work for me. It just wasn't comfortable enough. I did switch over to WASD. I did arrow keys for pretty much 5 years of my playing.
Right. Okay. Well then, we will talk more about the action bars in just a little bit, but the combat beta was updated this week with a bunch of things and a couple of polls, believe it or not. New this week to the combat beta is the Demoralize Constitution ability, which knocks a PvP player's prayers off for a number of seconds. Also, some changes with the death mechanic so that items that are always saved now default to the inventory rather than being held by death. And also, they updated the graphics for the entry portal going to where death is. Because, well, if you're going to retrieve items from the grave, or death now in the case, it should look a little bit better than a little portal on the floor, shouldn't it?
Especially for new players, I feel like it was a little too hidden.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I'd like
and
to...
You know... Oh, go ahead.
I don't know. I'm just interested to see how they integrate that with new players, if they still do the thing where you die and you go to Harold's office and he tells you about death, if they do that with new accounts. I should try that.
Wow. I never even knew that happened. That never happened with us back in the day. When did they bring this in?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I guess, okay, you're old enough that... Hmm, interesting.
We used to just get sent straight to Lumbridge.
Well, it used to be that, I mean, at one point, they gave you, like, basically one penalty-free death and basically told you the death system, the gravestones and everything, and then sent you on your merry way, and then you got to die in peace and all that. But I guess they didn't do that before.
Yeah, veterans never got a penalty-free death.
That's how you know you're the real OG, right, Shane?
I have no idea what OG stands for, but anyways... Yeah, also, speaking of the combat beta, they modified, you know, the stuns and the healing cap and legacy. And in accordance with this, they actually do have three polls running in the beta server this week. The polls determine whether the legacy healing cap, the PvP eating tweaks, and the stun tweaks that I mentioned are ready to go into the live game. Now... for those of you guys who are not aware, the healing cap basically means that using Soul Split and Legacy will heal you more than it does currently. Because as you guys recall, when the evolution of combat came in, the amount of healing that you would take from Soul Split was severely taken down. Because healing in the evolution of combat with Soul Split only works on the non-ability attacks on that damage. So it's not... as high as, you know, as we would have expected it to be before. So basically what this does is it makes it so that using Legacy enables Soul Split to be pretty much like it was before the evolution of combat came into play. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about that, given Legacy. It seems like it might, you know, tilt Soul Split's favor a bit in the advantage of Legacy, but I guess on the other side of that, you could say it's made up for since, well... the people who use Legacy don't have, you know, all the Constitution abilities to heal with.
Yeah, I mean, it may be a slight advantage, but I don't think it's enough to outweigh all the pros that you get for using the EOC combat system. So, I'm not too bothered by it.
Yeah. Then, of course, eating food in PvP... non-legacy mode will drain adrenaline by 5% instead of evoking global cooldowns. I guess. I don't know. But I'm not a PvPer, so I did not vote in those two options on the poll since I didn't feel like I was in my place to be offering opinion on that. Now, there's a bit of a problem with this. The beta is something that, you know, is kind of relegated to behind the scenes, and you really only gain access to the beta servers if you're actually looking for it. So, as a result, not many people are currently playing the combat beta. When I logged in yesterday during a busy time, there were only 18 people on the combat beta server. And there's about 500 votes total in the poll. Now, considering 500 votes is not that much for the wider RS population, so I don't know if, you know, listening to what's in the beta here in terms of polling is the right thing to do. We've had numerous other combat changes come in and, you know, be tweaked after release when they were pulled in a beta server. And it just doesn't feel right to me. I don't know about you guys, but having 500 people decide when 250 people vote for something, yes, and then the rest are split between hold it back and abandon this update, that just doesn't feel right.
No, I still feel like they need to... well, they did add a title, so it's tough to get people into a beta.
Yeah. And who... I want to know, who is in the beta server playing around? Is it people who just log in to see what's going on there? Or are there people who are actually, you know, seasoned combat players who are taking a genuine interest in this? If these 500 people then are, you know, the dedicated most type of RS combat, EOC or legacy-wise otherwise, then I say by all means follow this poll. But if this poll is, you know, just every other person you might find on the street just taking a cruise through the beta and having a vote on it, then I'm not sure that's a valuable metric.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I know there are dedicated people out there who, crazily enough, like to actually test the beta regardless of rewards or anything like that. But I feel like that they're a small subset of that group, even that's voting.
I mean,
so who knows?
I can tell you each point on this beta server, anything that doesn't deal with PvP, I tested and attempted to break and thought, is there anything we could do to improve this? And I mean, that's the mindset you have to have coming into this. And honestly, given the track record of betas and the fact we're having combat betas every year since, what, 2012 now? I honestly think it's time to end the combat beta and have a closed beta server where Jagex can test whatever they want with people. You know, whether it be new additions to skills or whatever. Just put the people under NDA, grab them through, you know, a metric that you can verify on the other end and see what's going on, and then bring them in that way. And then you'll have a much better product at the end of the day.
I can agree with that for sure.
I mean, just to give you an example, World of Tanks, people who play that, new people don't get to test all the tanks that come out. They give them to seasoned veterans who know what to look for balance-wise before putting them out. Why can't we have something here like this? I mean, it's not going to harm the game. It's going to make it better. And I guarantee you, if the Evolution of Combat had a beta like this, we wouldn't have Legacy Mode, we wouldn't have all the other stuff that came after the fact. And we wouldn't have a splintered community.
Yeah. Some might argue that that was bound to happen at some point, but I feel like it definitely would have helped.
Yeah. So, I want to tell everybody out there, if you do combat and you know what you're doing, and, you know, you have a genuine interest in this stuff, making sure that it's going to, you know, end up being well on the live server, go into the combat beta, educate yourself, try stuff out, play around, that sort of thing, and vote in the poll about whether it's good to go or not, and make constructive suggestions on the forums. That is the number one thing that I have to suggest with an open beta product like this. All right. Anything else on the combat beta?
No, sir.
Alrighty. Well, let's go. After that, we got another behind-the-scenes video talking about Rune Lab suggestions thus far. And a bit of a reminder, for this month, month of May, Jagex is looking for Halloween-themed updates. A couple of ones that have come in so far are going back to the Mirror Universe and completing Mirror Universe Halloween events. And another one is a mini quest based on Broken Home called Broken Minds. So those are two options that are going in so far.
Do you think this will end up like the last player suggested or player-driven Halloween event?
Well, given, you know, given the fact that this one is actually designed by a player and will be, you know, prototyped and built by Jagex and have, you know, community engagement along the way, I don't think we'll see a complete 180 like last year.
I'd say it has more potential than just trying to piece together random parts of a story to make sense. That was a terrible idea from the onset. But
yeah, it was. But we got Broken Home instead, and you know, some argue that Broken Home wasn't that great either.
I didn't mind. No, wait. That was a quest. The event that we got was the Death's House thing where you go and zap the ghosts.
Oh yeah, right. Right.
Which was good.
Yeah, I don't know why I don't remember that then, but you're right, that was good. It was classic Halloween, built by Jagex. And ay. Okay, we're not going to go down this path. Yeah. We've been curmudgeon-y enough throughout this so far, but anyways, next month in June, first Rune Labs update that was submitted and developed, Adamant and Rune Dragons hits the game.
Woo!
It'll be interesting to see, won't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Fingers crossed. Anyways, we'll be back next week with our favorite Rune Labs ideas for Halloween. Give them some time to, you know, mature in Rune Labs and whatnot and let everyone get theirs in.
Everything's better aged.
Yes. Especially Rune Lab suggestions once you know, let the really silly ones sink to the bottom. But, all right. And, you know, just in general, with the whole behind-the-scenes theme, this week we were presented with a document from one of the J-Mods detailing the Saren spells and prayers that are going to come as a result of the Saren quests. These are going to be largely supportive, have skilling and combat focuses. So I've got the document here. Let's just talk about a couple of these, shall we?
All right. Yeah.
So starting off with the spells for combat. So there's going to be three of them that are planned so far. And, you know, keep in mind, these are very early on, so we might not see them in this final form, but
or see him at all.
Yeah. But here we go. Crystal totems, which you place down, and they'll have different effects for people within a certain radius. Possible ideas include restoring summoning points, reducing damage taken, breaking incoming stuns, cleansing poison, slow bind or provoke enemies. There's also a shield dome that absorbs a percentage of damage for all players inside. It's nice. Intercept, leap, or teleport to a friendly character and absorb the next X attacks of damage against them. X is increased when wielding a shield. I like these three.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, but before we go any further, I want to say that I wrote an article a couple months back that talked about having these kind of classes in the game.
Yes.
And Mod Ollie is so brilliant for putting this stuff into the minds of people, because this is what combat needs in the game. It needs someone that is strictly support.
I totally agree.
That will heal. And strictly a tank. People can't just do everything all the time. And I think having that individual thing will just make combat more fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, the number one favorite thing that I did back, you know, in Star Trek Online PvP was playing the supportive / tank role. And I would be overjoyed to be able to play something like this in RS. So, I absolutely hope that we will see these come into game. These three right here. Because, I mean, it opens up a whole new realm of possibilities as to who can do bossing and what's actually required. I mean, you might not necessarily need as defensive armor, for example. So if you're a little bit behind and you want to get started on God Wars, well, bring a tank. Have them take the damage. There you go, right?
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, you still do need a good way to punch through, and things like Virago and Araxor and the QBD, you know, will still require the maximum amount of DPS to do them effectively, because if you note what's going on here, this isn't exactly debuffing the enemy, it's more so just protecting your teammates.
Yeah, I think I can see these abilities being used a lot in Virago. We could see a completely different strategy to kill him with support characters.
Yep. And there's also going to be prayers, fortitude, large increase to defense, life points, and regeneration. So, you know, at the cost of offensive stats. So this is, once again, a tank prayer that a tank would want to use. Light and dark forms. Well, in light form, the effect from Saren's spells is amplified. Dark form for Zaro's spells. Using a spell or prayer from the other school removes the form. This encourages picking a particular role within ancient magics and curses, further defining specific support and tank roles. Soul Link allows you to link another player, sharing damage, healing, and prayer and summoning points between you.
My favorite of the three here.
Yes.
By far.
I agree. Because you can heal people as it is right now in Dungeoneering, right?
Yeah. But I just see this as, like, you're in the middle of a fight, and the support person sees that the tank's starting to get low on health, so he gets over to that character and activates this prayer, and all of a sudden, he's doing a support-like ability.
Yep.
So to speak.
The only concern... Aren't there bosses out there that do, like, basically one-hit kill no matter what? Like, it's default, like, 100,000 damage, stuff like that. I know that KK has an attack like that when he greens a guy and then, like, just absolutely eats him. So what would that be like if you were soul-linked? Would they both die? Because
I'm sure that they wouldn't both die, but maybe the damage would be halved or something.
Well, yeah.
Either that or it still would hit that person and the soul link wouldn't register the one-hit kill.
It would just break or something. Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, that definitely brings up a couple of interesting thoughts because, you know, if you were linked with someone, you know, do you go halves on damage? Does one person die and the other one just stay there? Or what? I mean, very interesting point. And, I mean, when things like this come out, this is the kind of thing we would want to combat beta for. Because, let's face it, the people at Chagex, I don't think they're the bossers, you know, who are going to be using this kind of stuff day to day.
Yeah, I'd be using this all the time. So I'd be 100% behind making sure that this is just perfect.
Yeah, and once again, this is why we go for a closed beta. Because if you have people coming in who are just getting started with bossing or have a very specific way about thinking about how they, you know, take this NPC down, well, then they're going to want to manipulate these into a form that helps what their ultimate end game is rather than sticking to the design document. So that's why I think having the closed betas, especially for this, would be a good thing. But we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. And, you know, there's also the whole prospect of, you know, opening this up to have whole new kinds of bosses out there that actually do require a tank and a support person. And ultimately, I think we could expand this out to maybe a debuffer or... What do you guys think about the state of debuffing in Magic currently?
I think it's fine. I mean, it's not on the top of my priority list, honestly.
Okay.
I know that some people out there, like the really hardcore, are like, if they're using ranged or melee or something, they're on lunars and they're using all those strange spells, but I feel like it's sort of fringe at this point, not many people use them.
Yeah. And, I mean, this would certainly bring it to the forefront, and I think maybe there could be an argument made that this necessitates some of the tweaks to the Lunar Spellbook, such that we don't have duplicates in Lunar, so that these spells on their own become the, you know, support tank kind of way of playing the game, rather than, you know, having those in the Lunar Spellbook as they are right now.
I almost think that they should make a specific spellbook for the support kind of player. Because, yeah, having to go between books will make that really difficult. And it sounds like they're doing that with prayer, because they're putting it in with the curses.
Yes. And, I mean, this actually sounds like it's just going to be part of the whole ancient spellbook, right? Because, remember, Zaros and Saren related, so why not have them together, I think, and then put them behind a quest, and there you go. But there's also going to be things for skilling, so here's some spells for skilling. Tell me if you think these are overpowered. Enrichment, enrich an entire inventory of divine memories.
Well, if it's like 500 soul runes, I don't know. I feel like that would be worth it. It would just be such a sink. I feel like that could be useful. A little bit OP, but I think it could do well.
All right.
I don't know. I busted my ass at those divine locations. So, you know what?
One way they could sort of draw this out, I guess, is that, you know how initially when you could, like, convert charms from lower-level charms to higher-level charms, it would, like, do one by one. You could do a system where it, like, goes up to a Make-X interface and sort of just enriches each one by one just a little bit faster than it would be harvesting them. So, I mean, technically, you're gaining a net XP, but it's not super OP. They could do that.
I think that the spell should just be cast, which increases the chance for enriched by a small fraction over the course of whatever time would be necessary.
Right, and I also think the benefit from doing it that way comes that you don't need to carry, you know, as many, or you don't need to give up the inventory space. You just have the same runes in your inventory, but they just stay there rather than being used each time. Because from what it sounds like here, this could be for people who want to take the divine memories and bank them for some reason. But anyways, next up is rapid growth. Skip the growth stage of plant, tree, or herb once.
Overpowered.
I agree. I entirely agree with that. Farming was not meant to be fast.
Well, what if they put on a cap to where you could only do it like once per plant? Would it be really that overpowered if it was just one stage?
It would be, and here's why. If you do the giant mole and you get the ultra growth potion or whatever it's called, that's one stage right there. So if you combine this with the ultra growth, there's two stages right there here. 8-hour magic growth then becomes 4.
Do you actually use the ultra growth, Shane?
No, I don't, because fighting the mole for that many times per day isn't something I want to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, but
the thing is,
99, you'd do it in half the time making trees.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. The magic trees and all the trees in general have 4 growth cycles of different times.
So it'd be
that's the
three
way it works.
Quarters the time.
No, it would cut it down by
okay,
half
if
you're skipping 2.
Okay. I digress.
And your spirit trees become 2 days instead of 3.5, give or take. No, thank you. And I like my herbs, you know, that net a profit. So we don't need more of these coming into game. It's very nice where it is right now, yeah?
Yes. Moral of the story, just don't mess with farming as it is.
Yes. And remove Livid Farm While you're at it, too, that thing is blasphemous. All right. The crystal mask, when cast, it creates a crystal mask that reduces the chance of being caught pickpocketing.
Meh.
I don't think we have a problem with pickpocketing as it is currently. I mean...
Nah.
We did, but that was taken care of.
Yep, with the suit from Plague's End. Exoskeleton. Crystallized, turn a skilling location crystalline for 30 seconds. More XP is gained, but no resources are received.
OP.
You know, I think they have to add this to the game, because you can already do this with the shark outfit.
Does
at
that
fishing spots?
I think that don't they mean divine locations though? Like the skilling locations you like plop down, right?
Oh, I guess that could be it. I never thought that's what they meant by this. Yeah,
I don't know.
So...
I think it could be anything. Because if they meant divine locations, they probably would have just said divine locations.
Yeah. I feel like, though, if you were to, like... Because how many sharks do you really catch in 30 seconds?
Not that many.
Not too many.
Nor the rocktails, actually.
Well, even rocktails as well. I mean, any high-level fish, elder logs, all that kind of stuff, you don't get them very fast, so... I don't know if that would be useful. I think it would actually be really useful for the divine locations because those sort of bring in a lot of resources as they are. So I think it would help by stopping those resources, even though it would increase the XP that's already a little bit overpowered from the divine locations. I think it would be good because it wouldn't bring in those resources.
And that's where I'm coming from because, yeah, the divine locations are pretty overpowered as it is. But I'm thinking, like, when someone was to throw this down, maybe doing barbarian fishing, and they can just continue to throw it down, because it's every 30 seconds.
Right.
True.
I mean...
And you factor in that it doesn't just have to be one person. Like, I can imagine being down in the Living Rock Caverns doing rocktails, and... having Accept Aid on, and there's just always one there, kind of like when totems were sitting out.
Right. Yeah, they definitely would have to put a cap on that then, if when you put it that way. If it's a divine location, it's going to be everywhere. But they say, this is the kind of flat increase we'd ideally avoid, but it would help the economy, so it can be considered a worthwhile trade-off. I don't know.
I think they should focus on getting more players. I think that would help the economy.
There you go. Next up is the crystal tree locator. Tells the player the direction of the active crystal tree. Okay.
This is underpowered because you just have to look at a tree. This does nothing new for you.
Exactly.
Or you could join a friend's chat. Or you could use the portals in the... Max Guild Garden that teleports you straight to the active one.
But would any update be complete without a prayer or a spell or ability that doesn't do anything?
That's very true.
I suppose. And I guess if you are really lazy, so I guess maybe this would fall into my category, if you're just sitting at the bank and being like, oh, it's west, okay, I'll go west.
Go west, young bistro, go west. Alright, Crystal Harvest, when cast, this reasonably expensive spell resets the daily limit on harvesting your crystal tree in Piftinas. This means you're able to harvest your tree twice per day. Spell can only be cast once per day.
Oh no.
That's an extra 15k farming XP.
They're making farming faster.
Well, I mean, this one's okay because it's gated behind Priftiness. It's gated behind this quest. It's gated behind either entering the Max Guild for one time or spending hours on the Agility course getting a Crystal Acorn.
Yeah.
So it this one is not too bad. Because remember, it took, gosh, I don't remember how many days it took me to get a single crystal acorn, but tons of XP at the agility place. I think it was like 430 mint cakes that I got while doing that.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyways, prayer, and then we'll wrap this up quickly. Gatherer, while mining, woodcutting, or fishing, or divining, the chance of various procs are increased. Effect increases the longer it's active up to a cap, interrupted by combat. So I guess this would mean, you know, woodcutting increasing the chance of getting a bird's nest, mining gems, fishing. Would that increase the chances of getting the prawn balls from the aquarium, perhaps?
Maybe getting a boot?
Oh, God. What do you get from divining aside from the Chronicles? That's random.
I mean, enriched or kind of...
It's every 20... enriched memories, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of random-ish. It's based upon your level, based on other boosts, but... Yeah, I don't know about divination.
All right. Lean forward skilling. Prayers that occasionally cause something to happen, which the player can react to in order to gain extra rewards. Specifics of what these could be are still open for design. it's a funny name.
There you are, chopping a tree, and all of a sudden you just feel... Wow, I feel really religious for a moment.
Or your
like a light shines down on you, the branches separate, and you gain a little bit more experience.
Okay.
You do the special animation or something.
Or your pickaxe falls apart.
Hey, we used to have that. We used to have that.
That's kind of what it sounds like. Except... I don't know.
You'll be mining, and all of a sudden, it'll just leave your hand, and it'll mine for you for a little bit.
While we're at it, they should bring back the flying axe heads and pickaxe heads. Yes? No?
Wasn't that what we were talking about?
Well, I mean, that's certainly what it sounds like here, but you get a reward for putting it back together. You guys remember... When the whirlpools could take away your net or lobster pot?
Yeah. Oh, man.
Good times with those. Yeah, that one is definitely a bit odd. Social skilling, similar to the protection prayers, which encourage grouping up. These skilling prayers, having such effects as gatherer form, would have their effects amplified when other people nearby also have them activated. This promotes some form of skilling teamwork.
Would this work for prayer when you're using the altars? Whew. In houses?
Well, no. Because it would amplify the other prayers. So it would amplify lean forward skilling and gatherer form.
Well, now I'm thinking back to Living Rock Caverns. Now everyone's just using these prayers.
Hey, they
gotta
if
put
it's
a cap on that.
Well, if it's behind a Grandmaster quest, you know, that requires something else to be done, and it gets people involved in the quest, then that's a good thing. And the final one, Chronicle Absorption. All Chronicles are immediately converted into Divination XP equal to 90% of what the Druid would give. 90%.
That's so sad. I couldn't imagine staying at the divine lo what are they called?
The Rift.
The Rift. I couldn't imagine staying there and not having that break after I get 10 Chronicles. Holy crap. Like, I'm glad that I have the 6th Age Circuit, because you can just teleport to a guide to give you the bonus. But that break from getting 10 really got me through 99 divination.
Interesting. I stopped collecting Chronicles at like level 50.
Oh, a great hunter experience.
I did it for the hunter experience. I also did it because it like peeved off everyone else around me, because I'd always grab them right away. I knew exactly where they would spawn.
All right. Well, there you have it, folks. That's a preview of the Saren spells coming up. Overall, happy, I think, with the combat side.
Thank you, skilling stuff
does seem to need a bit of work going forward, but overall pretty good, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Good. Well, with that being said, that's it for RS updates this week. We're going to have a bit of a discussion with Paul right now. We didn't get that in place for last week, unfortunately. This week, though, he wants to tell you about his aquarium and how he is actually profiting off it. So you can find this on youtube.com/rsbmbstaff, or just have a listen right now to Paul talk about aquariums.
Hello, this is Silver's 9, PFK99s from RSBMB. This is the RuneScape Need to Know series where we take a look at features you may have missed or forgotten. Either way, hope you learned something useful. Last time we looked at world switching, and this time we'll be looking at aquariums. Aquariums were introduced just a few weeks ago, and the benefits they provide are definitely worthwhile to consider. Aquariums are a room in a player-owned house that can be built starting at 63 construction, along with 200,000 coins. The room consists of six features, with three being of note. The Prawn Broker, who controls the various perks unlocked via prawn points. The Underwater or Bathysphere, where you put stuff and gain rewards. Some of this is including the porthole, shark bone, and ship figurehead. The Diving Suit, which unlocks different rewards based on your level. The Lowest Suit allows the player to the ability to open oysters. The second level allows for the opening of mermaids' purse decorations, and the Salvage Hunter suit allows players to open the treasure chest decoration. Before we see the aquarium, we need to understand how to unlock all of these different things. Parts for each of the useful and scenery items are obtained via the fishing skill. After 25,000 life points worth of fish are caught, you can gain either an egg for that fish, prawn cracker, or prawn ball. Now, I'm just going to start fishing, because why not? The eggs are then added to the bathysphere to unlock fish in the aquarium. Prawn balls unlock the aforementioned decorative items, and then some. The prawn crackers, golden egg, cooked barren sharks, prawn pennies or prawn pounds, or decorations that are used for bonus experience in a specific location. The prawn crackers are used on another player, which grants both you and the other player a prawn ball. While this can get a little involved, it does seem the majority goes fairly quickly, with the eggs taking the longest to obtain. You can see in my inventory, I have two prawn balls, one prawn cracker, which I would need to use on another player, which I guess there is one here, but they look like they're busy. So I'm just going to open one of these balls. I guess I got a prawn penny. That allows me an additional chance to gain an egg from this fish in this location. I believe I currently have some activated. I still have 19 charges left. Prawn pennies for me currently, I think, will last for 50, whereas a prawn pound will last a full 100 fish. Let's do the other one just because I can. I just got four barren sharks. I don't believe they're even tradable, so just good to have. You only get prawn perks when you get a fish egg, or you gain a certain number of prawn crackers. You can open them, it just has a total running tally. And I don't know if you saw while I was fishing, I guess the fishing spot has moved now, but I was not using any bait whatsoever. That is one of the perks. Some useful perks are bait or featherless fishing, barbarian fishing without bait, great white shark fishing, and the ability to make sushi. Now, I have the shark outfit, and I was doing a lot of my fishing at barbarian fishing area thing, and it goes really quickly, and if I didn't have to use bait, it would be completely free just to just knock out all my fishing there. I can't do anything, I don't think, at the prawn broker. I've already used all my points, so I can't do anything, but let's head down. And the aquarium can be prestiged for cosmetic changes via removing the plug and redoing the entire thing. I don't particularly want to do this. I'm not actually to the end yet. But as you can see, I don't have a whole lot. I do have the six locations. The Firmenich Longboat decoration, as an example, will grant additional experience and a greater chance of finding golden fish eggs while fishing in Otto's Lakes, which is the barbarian fishing I was just talking about. So let's try opening the oysters. Just got an uncut gem, which is a diamond, apparently. This is why I like to have the gem bag, because it is extremely useful to fill up your entire inventory on a daily basis by getting the kelp, especially for the sushi, which I can't use yet. And I can just fill the gem bag, it's fine. The mermaid's purse once a week for mahogany planks or teak, depending on what it feels like giving you. Looks like I'm getting mahogany. Man, I got all mahogany that time. Fantastic. And lastly, my favorite thing, the treasure chest. You will get one elite clue scroll per week, suppose you don't already have another clue. If you do, it'll tell you to come back when you don't have one. And again, the kelp and the seaweed can be cut daily. Gives you a little bit of farming experience. Nothing that would make Strain happy, but it will give you a little bit. I believe these are tradable. It's not, I guess, horrendous cash, but it is a little bit. So, again, get out there, start fishing, filling up your construction room stuff. Fill up your aquarium. Get all the fish. I'm SilverWiz9, PFK99s from RSBNB. See you next week.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul, for that. Granted, the aquariums were only a couple of weeks ago, but it's always best to get things like that immortalized that are good money makers. And on that vein, I have actually been abusing or started abusing my level 4 clues from the aquarium. So, yeah, youtube.com/RSBNBstaff for all kinds of goodness like that and more. All right, let's move on to questions, yes?
Yes.
Okie dokie, yeah. Then. The first one is an audio question from Parnassius.
G'day all, Parnassius here. We've had the aquarium out for a few weeks now, and we all know your thoughts on it. My question is about the prestiging and the reward it offers. Do you think that a different-looking plug that no one will see unless they come into your house and a goldfish animation is really worth doing? I know it's only 3 times, but I think something to show it off would have been better and made more people interested in pulling the plug. Perhaps the option to change your fishing outfit earned at the fish flingers to gold, or the shark pet made gold, would have been better and made it stand out. What are your thoughts? What would you have done differently to make it worthwhile prestiging and to stop it becoming dead content after a few weeks? Again, thanks for the great podcast and happy RuneScaping all.
Colton?
I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into Titlescape here, but I feel like because people do like titles, so they could have added something with regards to that. I think the idea of adding some sort of other cosmetic out, because isn't the diving suit a possible cosmetic from this? Am I wrong in assuming that?
I believe so, yes. Yes.
I just don't think that's a very... it kind of looks like the villain from the Scooby-Doo, the title sequence, if you guys have never seen Scooby-Doo. Nope. Okay, that was the
nope.
One, you guys.
No, I've seen it, but...
Well, it's the quintessential creepy seaweed monster guy, but anyhow, I feel like they could have added a little bit more, but in the end, I don't know, it's only dead content in my eyes if you make it dead content, because this is, I don't think this should be content that's supposed to, I mean, obviously it's in your house and people can see it if they want to, but it should be your own achievement, and if you want to keep going, you can, and it's internal motivation, I guess.
All right. as for me, I have to say no. No, 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 no. Because I feel with the aquarium, we've already gone far enough on encouraging people to do things just for the sake of doing things. And as a result, given the, you know, the current way people play this game, you know, just to get the most XP, play it the most efficiently, I don't think that having another cosmetic reward would have ultimately have helped that. I think that would just further that being what the aquarium update is for. I think the aquarium update goes far enough in that regard of encouraging people to just get through it as fast as possible. Because if there was something very visually flashy at the end? Certainly. People would have went through it even faster. So, no, I don't think we need it.
Would have paid even more for my golden crackers.
You did?
No, I didn't. No.
Yeah, you just had to throw that out there, didn't you?
Yes.
All right. You have anything on this question, Mr. Bistro? I know you haven't touched the aquarium.
Yeah, I haven't, but I love doing construction, and the way I see houses in general is that you're really just building it up to be flashy. So if you have a flashy aquarium, what more is there really to it? I think that if it's in the house, it should stay in the house.
All right, fair enough, and that makes sense. But, I mean, what purpose do, just going back to the aquarium, what purpose is there for players to come in and see your fish? I mean, they're fish.
Well, there really isn't one anymore. I remember when I started playing that house parties were a thing, and that kind of died out. And maybe with the construction update, or whatever they plan to do with these, like, overhaul updates to skills with the divine energy, or whatever they plan to do with it, that might bring it back. And if that's the case, then it's right where it should be.
All right. Sounds good to me. Thank you, Parnassius, for that question. And, of course, the next one is from Earth. As, well, I didn't mention this at the top of the show, but the reason he's not here is because he's actually back on his way home. But he did want to provide this to us, just so everyone would know where he was.
Hello, Shane, Colton, and Mr. Bistro. I'm coming to you live from I-75, because Colton was very, very persistent about me submitting some questions. So, here goes. So, as I said, I'm coming to you guys live from I-75. I have a 5-hour drive back home. Do you guys have any long drives that you do periodically? How do you deal with long drives? What's your method? And my second question is, what is your favorite kind of drink? In the past week, I have been introduced to mochas, coffee, and it's quite nice. Caffeine doesn't affect me, strangely, but tastes good. And last question, what is your favorite kind of music to drive to? And thank you guys for filling in for me. And we'll be back on the show next week. Yeah. I'm terrible at improv. Todd.
Thank
I just
you,
had
Earth.
To include that in there at the end, but all right, so begin. How do you guys deal with long drives, if you have any?
Oh, I have tons right now. I'm actually looking at a few places to move to after I graduate, and where I plan to go is a couple hours away, so I do that about once a week now. And I don't know if you mean my favorite drink in the car or out of the car, because in the car, it's usually a coffee, but out of the car, it's Mountain Dew, and sometimes Mountain Dew mixed with something, if you know what I mean.
All right.
my favorite music I listen to, it's pretty much always the same in and out of the car, so it's anything EDM. I like my
EDM
dance music. Yep.
Okay.
Usually the more relaxing, chill, steppy kind of side, because I don't really like the big bouncy stuff when I'm driving.
All right. Interesting. How about you, Colton?
I don't know if I make consistent drives to Indianapolis, which is only about an hour, 10 minutes or so away from here, but while I drive, either I'm talking to the person next to me, I'm listening to music, or I do love audiobooks, actually, if they're done well. So, I don't know, just keeping myself entertained in those ways, I don't know, keeps me eyes on the road, I guess. Favorite drinks? That's tough. Being someone who's going into enology, I'm obligated to say wine, but I love... I love Diet Dr. Pepper, as weird as that sounds, and water and black coffee. So those are my drinks.
Black coffee's getting me through the day right now.
Do you have a double sweet or
me?
Yes.
No. A little bit of salt actually helps curb the bitterness.
What?
Yeah, you didn't know that? It's
no,
it's
I've never heard of anyone doing that.
Yeah,
how much are we talking about here?
Maybe a quarter teaspoon.
Okay, so like a pinch.
Just a teeny little bit. You'd be surprised. Just try it. Don't knock it till you try it, Shane. And with regards to music in the car, it can range from all kinds of stuff. But lately, I've been playing a lot of Elvis, as weird as that sounds. So, yeah, that's the kind of music that gets me in the driving mood.
Alrighty, sounds good. As for me, nothing nearly as far as any of you guys. Everything is you know, here in the city, so it's not too bad with that respect. But favorite drink? I'd have to go with one of my variants of tea, or what I ultimately end up washing the tea down with after the fact, like hour 2 hours later, is carbonated lemon water. Yes, that is something that Reed calls the he juice. Bonus points if anyone knows what that refers to, but yeah. And music-wise, you know, I don't listen to music. If anything was to be on in there, it would probably be either news or just, you know, the sound of the road.
Shane drives in an awkward silence.
Yeah, I mean, as far back as I can remember, you know, even writing-wise, it was always better just to be quiet, you know?
Contemplate life.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I have music on in the background, but yeah, when I'm driving for like 2 hours, I'm just thinking about everything going on and where I'm going, so.
Yeah, and I mean, and plus anybody who can attest to it, you'll know that I don't have a music library. I don't listen to anything specific, so. That's also partly why as well.
To each. All right. Zone.
Thank you there, Earth. Now, the next one from Hollow Heart, the last question. When do you guys want to read this, or shall I take it?
You can take it.
All righty. So, first up, what are your comments and opinions regarding Windows 10 being the last version of Windows? And secondly, on a RuneScape note, I remember seeing somewhere in the RS official forums, probably, that JX had plans to add more action bars or additional slots for the action bars themselves. They said they had plans for it. How do you feel about these extra action bars being purchased through microtransactions? I've had enough of this stuff, to be honest, with all the ads and updates specifically for Treasure Hunter and Solomon's Store. Well, let's tackle the RuneScape one first, since the Windows one takes us nicely into tech news. I think that what they did this time, the fact you can purchase them with loyalty points, anyone who's been around for a decent amount of time and who wants more action bars is likely to have 100,000 loyalty points, I think. So I'm not too upset with that this time. But as I did say earlier, the fact that you have to rent bank presets and that the legendary pet Beast of Burdens can now be, you know, used with the Make X interface, that's kind of upsetting. That is pushing it.
Yeah.
So.
I don't know. And I didn't see this as heinous as, I don't know, because I do check up on the Reddit community and things like that, even though I don't agree with a lot of what they stand for, but they were in an uproar over this. This was...
Of course they were.
It was nothing to see here, the Naked Gun meme, if you've ever seen that. But...
Was it a knee-jerk reaction?
I think so, because how much of an advantage are you really gaining by being able to buy four more action bars? I just don't... Okay, if you're hardcore into really massive hybrid PvP, or you're just an insane PvMer who's got, like, eight different setups at once, then okay. You have a little bit of a right to complain about that, maybe. But I feel like most people are just complaining because it's something to complain about, because it's MTX. And whenever people see MTX stuff that could have been put in game for free, they have a propensity to whine. So, I don't know. I didn't see this as bad as some others. They have made some questionable decisions with regards to a lot of XP being given out and things like that, but I don't think this is one of the worst ones they've done.
Alrighty. And let's remember that when you were fighting Araxor, your Araxor setup didn't fit on the action bar.
No, it didn't, but I don't even know if I would have been able to switch between two action bars. I'm not that...
No.
That hardcore, no. I guess.
Yeah. All right. How about you, Mr. Bistro?
Well, you're not going to like my answer, but I definitely think it was a good thing that they did this. Because, I mean, the more action bars you have, if you're getting them for free, the more complicated it's just going to be. And I said this at the beginning of the show, but with the loyalty points that you're going to stack up, it's just something that fits naturally into place, I guess, because you have enough already, and that's just a luxury thing that you can have just because you've been a member over time.
Yeah. Completely understand where you're coming from on that. And I think that the majority of microtransactions that ultimately did end up happening that were overpowered got toned down in some way, or they were enabled later on to make it to the players another way, whether that be through Vic or, you know, just having a rerun promotion on the Treasure Hunter. So that's not too bad. And as I also mentioned, the vast majority of stuff in Solomon's General Store is cosmetic, except for, of course, well, now the legendary Beast of Burdens, which, you know, we did talk about last week and this week, so that is a bit of an issue. But let's also remember that we're still paying a very competitive price for Jagex membership fee, because I don't know about you guys, but I'm still grandfathered in at $5 a month.
I've been buying the Gold Premier.
Okay.
As have I.
See, and this goes into what Solomon's and Treasure Hunter are actually all about, I think, in the wider perspective of things. You guys buy that because you have a perceived value of what RS offers you, and it's a bit of a deal at the end of the year that you can, you know, put into the game. Granted, you're paying a bit more than you would, you know, if you were paying your $7 a month or whatever, but you guys like what Jagex offers you, so you give them the money to get that package and a few benefits, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So the way to think about Treasure Hunter and Solomon's General Store is very much the same as Premier Club, in that it's not something that you need to do, and it's not, you know, adding things into game that you must have to be competitive, which would totally be pushing the line in my view, though some could argue bonus XP is. But Treasure Hunter and Solomon's General Store provide another revenue stream for Jagex for those who see value in what is offered to them. I want to say a way to give more back to Jagex, because let's face it, I think that RS is worth more than $9.99 a month. They could very well charge the World of Warcraft price if they wanted to.
And what is that?
$14.99.
Wow.
I don't think they could go that high. No. But
well, I'm not saying they will, but I mean, they could definitely do that if they wanted to make more money and were, you know, being criminal about it.
I just think that it's good where it's at because they're trying to get players, and having it too expensive of a membership price is going to kind of tone those numbers down a little bit.
I completely agree with that. And, I mean, if, you know, there wasn't such a rotten year last year money-wise, I'd say maybe even consider rolling back the membership price. Because, you know, Jagex isn't just the people who, you know, create the game and provide it to us. They're essentially community leaders, so to speak. They're our government, the way Jagex works. So, I mean, why not just give a little bit back to your constituents, so to speak, if we're speaking on that term of what we are to them?
Don't make it sound like taxes. Don't make it sound like taxes.
Well, that's essentially what it is, because they're running the community and they need the revenue to do it. Because I think we can all agree that the RS community transcends most communities that are out there. So, and that's my take on the thing. But, and it took a while to, you know, arrive at this, but after seeing what Jagex stands for and the updates they brought out, that's definitely something I feel comfortable in saying. Mm. All right. Anything else on that one?
I'm good. On to the Microsoft.
Yes. So, Windows 10 will be the last version of Windows.
In Mother Russia. Say.
Yeah, that's so they say. And basically, what this means for anybody out there who hasn't been following this is that when you upgrade to Windows 10, this will be the last time that you have a painful upgrade to do. And this is in line with what Microsoft wants to do, because Microsoft has been doing this for a number of years now on the enterprise side thing. It's called Software as a Service, where on the enterprise side, people pay, you know, a set fee per year and they get access to all this software. And it just updates naturally. There's no painful upgrade cycles, that kind of thing. So that is essentially what they mean by being the last version of Windows, is that it's just going to become more organic and it's going to get updates in the same way that your phone gets updates. I honestly think this is a good way to go because, as we all know, how many people stayed with XP when Vista came out because Vista got bad press? Lots. How many people stayed with Windows 7 when Windows 8 came out because Windows 8 was deemed too hard to use? Lots. So if Microsoft can deliver a good product with Windows 10 and get people off of Windows 7, then that's all the better. It's good for the application developers. It's good for the community as a whole. So this is definitely something I think that is good for everyone because, well, who likes updating Windows? Do you guys enjoy installing Windows every year?
No.
Exactly.
This is totally predictable from what I've been following with Microsoft. They went feet first into this. They've been doing that with their app development, and I know all about that because I actually applied at Microsoft kind of as an internship coming right out of college, a paid internship. And that's the kind of stuff I would have been working on is doing updates on the paid subscription apps.
Okay. All right. And, you know, as you can see, you guys want the updates to get out to people, and what better way than to just make it as painless as possible? Right?
Yeah. Yes, definitely.
And, I mean, sure, Windows 10 is also going to be the same as saying OS 10, so I guess that kind of competition is gone, and that, you know, OS 10 will no longer be superior to Windows because they're both at version 10. But that's another upshot of this thing for Microsoft. So, anyways.
I just think this was a good idea because everything that they've been doing with their, like, updates to their products, like, I have 365 Office right now, and it's just gotten a lot of good reviews. People are really happy with the updates because the updates are specific to improving it and what people want. And without having to roll out a completely new version,
exactly,
just get it to them correct faster.
Exactly. And, you know, as someone who's written an application or two before, pointing to myself here, I really do enjoy it when I find out that the vast majority of people are on the most recent version of the OS. It just means that I don't need to worry about legacy. So if Microsoft is going to keep the consumer OS updated, that is excellent from that regard. But absolutely enjoy it. Anyways, that was from Hollow Heart. Thank you for that fourth piece of tech news. It's a very interesting thing that went on this week, and I am eagerly anticipating the launch of Windows 10, which everybody who's using 7 or 8 gets for free when it comes out for the first year. So it's going to be lots of reason to upgrade. Alrighty, now on to actual tech news. Any of you guys use Spotify?
Yep.
Alright.
Really?
Well, as it stands this week, Apple is attempting to get music labels to abandon the free Spotify streaming model because it's widely expected that Apple will be releasing their own streaming service later this month or this summer. And they don't want any competition in the free space, so they want the free stuff to go away. They want the artists to be for free exclusively to Apple.
No, I thought Taylor Swift just got done with a really, really long call to Apple.
Could be.
Yeah, she'd be happy about that, definitely. But, I mean, you know, when Apple puts something out, it's going to be top tier. And they've wanted to do a music streaming thing for a long time, but haven't been able to. And that's why they bought Beats, the Dr. Dre music service, which is actually being relaunched. So it'll be interesting to see what they come out with. Though, I mean, I don't know if you can stop Spotify. But if you offer the labels a better price than they're getting from Spotify, they might very well leave. So then the question becomes, as U.S. regulators, do the U.S. regulators step into this at all? What do you guys think?
Well, I don't really know about any of the U.S. regulator stuff, but I think that if there's anyone that could do this, it'd be Apple. I mean, they had iPod, and they can definitely do this.
Yeah, I mean, they already have iTunes Radio and whatnot, but that's, you know, doesn't really come close to what Spotify does. Radio is radio, right? So, but if people leave Spotify and end up having to pay for it, that could be a win for, you know, Spotify as well. If they have to start charging a price, they could take more profit from it. But
charge a price for their obviously their premium streaming service, but
yeah. Do you have premium?
No, I haven't bothered with it. I don't use it as much as
doesn't the free stuff sound like garbage to you?
It's not that bad. I don't know. Maybe I am uncultured in the ways of audio quality, but it's not bad enough to me to warrant paying for it. I don't know.
I mean, go ahead.
I just hate to see a good thing die, you know? Spotify had a good thing going.
Yeah, and I don't listen to music, as I said, but I have, you know, listened to a few things just to hear what the free Spotify sounds like, and I can definitely, you know, hear that it's not top-end quality compared to the stuff that you get when you, you know, rip a CD or whatnot. So you are limited in that regard, but...
Okay, Shane, I gotta ask you a question.
Yes.
Did you happen to listen to Spotify after the announcement that Apple was planning on doing this?
Before.
Okay, just wondering.
Why?
You and Apple.
Oh. No.
Yeah. No, the 500 plus episodes tells the story.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a very good one. But anyways, yeah, it's more of an antitrust kind of story, as in, is Apple being too ruthless here? So before we move on, just a simple yes or no. Apple too ruthless in this?
No. I think this is a good direction.
I don't know. I think they're exerting their power maybe a little bit too far, but eh. I'm not too bothered by it. It's not too bad.
All right. Sounds good. Next piece of tech news deals with Windows 10 and their ever so dull, well, kind of dull, emoji characters. So, Windows 10 will be the only operating system to feature emoji that allow someone to give you the middle finger.
Wow.
Leave it to Microsoft to do something like that, right?
And it's in all the colors of the rainbow, too.
Yes. Yes. And the default is gray. I don't know about you guys, but a person with a gray face, to me, signals someone who's dead. So I don't think gray was exactly the right choice as a default.
Or is from some different planet.
Yeah.
This doesn't concern me because it's just one more reason to have them turned off.
Oh, they're default in OS X, let me tell you that. When Yosemite came around, or maybe it was Mavericks, there were emojis everywhere. I mean, you'd start seeing them in emails and in messages and whatnot. Even in the code for the Swift language, you can define variables with emoji. So I think that's a world we live in. But anyways, Microsoft is also
talking to anyone that uses them with me.
Microsoft is jumping on the bandwagon of diversity. They got gray and then a whole range of colors going from light to dark. And the default is a bald person. So, yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad to see, though, that they were attentive enough to make the carousel horse face the right way. Because we all know that they all go anti-clockwise. They don't go clockwise, okay, guys? So
what are you talking about currently?
The carousel horse. It's near the bottom. It's obviously the most important part of this update.
Holy heck. How did you, like, pick that out? You just...
Because they all go... All carousels go anti-clockwise. They don't go clockwise. So the horse on the right here is... It's not realistic.
All of a sudden, I get this image of you just being on forums, just ranting, like, it is going clockwise. This isn't right. I'm so furious. Like... Never gonna get a Microsoft product again.
It's a wild horse party. Okay, yes. Alright. Also the Vulcan salute is in there as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And it's also worth noting that the flags of Afghanistan, Albania, Algeria, American Samoa, Andorra, Angola, Anguilla, Antigua and Barbuda, Argentina, Armenia, Barbuda, and Australia are missing.
Oh, they're going to be pissed.
Yeah, they'll definitely have to add those, given the flag of Australia is missing. I don't think anyone would care if any of the other countries were out.
I'm sure they would care.
All right. Next stop, Argentina, where we talk about Facebook opening up internet.org to lots of other companies. So, a while back, Facebook launched a website called internet.org. It's basically a way of bringing the internet to the developing world. So, you know, countries in the developing world, like Nigeria, those kind of places, very poor, have access to the internet for a low cost, because as we all know, getting the internet out to areas that have bad connections is expensive. So when you're in the middle of nowhere combined without, you know, having the infrastructure, that price jumps substantially. So that is exactly what Facebook offers with internet.org, in addition to the fact that it needs to be able to run on cheaper basic phones, can't use JavaScript or Flash or HTTPS, a.k.a. the secure internet. And there was some, you know, talk when this was first unveiled that, okay, you're doing this, but you're tracking the people who are using this, and only companies that you approve are allowed to do this. You're supposed to be a supporter of net neutrality, so why aren't you allowing just anyone to jump on board with you on this? And, you know, as a result of this criticism and wanting to be open, Facebook is relenting and allowing people to send their websites to be able to be accessed through this low bandwidth, low cost internet.
Yeah, props to you, Zuckerberg. Good idea.
Yeah, you know, sometimes he has some fairly crazy ideas, and I think this is one of the better ones. But anyways, countries on the list are Colombia, Ghana, Guatemala, India, Indonesia, Kenya, the Philippines, Tanzania, and Zambia. Websites currently include Wikipedia, a UN health website, the BBC, AccuWeather, and of course, Facebook. Wikipedia has got to be the one, you know, that does it, because there's so much you can learn on Wikipedia. I think if you just had Wikipedia, you'd be able to answer the vast majority of your searches out there. So that's good. But, you know, it's going to be very nice to seeing other services come on here. So maybe there's a bit of faith to be had with Mark Zuckerberg after all.
He has a heart.
Yeah, I personally don't trust the guy, but that's just me. All right. Anything jumping out at you guys for this, or should we just move on?
I'm glad he's doing something like this, but with any data that gets moved around in the world, there's just always something that can be there, and there's always some reason for it.
Yeah. And, I mean, Facebook's got to practice what they preach, because when we were talking about the whole net neutrality thing back in February, Facebook was one of the staunch advocates for it, but it doesn't seem to know what they're advocating for. So, glad to see them actually advocating for what they see as net neutrality now. All right. Well, that's it for tech news, everyone. Hopefully you've enjoyed that extended tech news, partially provided by Hollow Heart. Thank you to you once again for the great discussion on Windows 10. But now we're going to check in with the skill of the month, which is crafting. And oh boy, do we have something interesting to report this week.
Finally.
Tim has been knocked out of first place by Poison Nova. Poison Nova is in the lead with 3,071,000 experience, whereas Tim is in second place with 2.1 million XP gained.
Go, Poison, right go!
Yeah, I know there seems to be a lot of people cheering for someone, some hero, you know, to break Tim's winning streak, because he's won 4 in a row now.
Everyone hates a winner.
Especially when they win consecutively after so much time, you know, right?
He's earned it, so who knows? It could be interesting. He may wake up.
And you know, go ahead, Bistro.
Yeah, I might have to dust off my grinding skills and try and bust one out for 1 month.
Yeah, that'd be good. You have any skills that you prefer?
No, not really. Just as long as it's not like crafting or something.
Oh, okay. You know, that was the hint, you know, to, you know, drop a cue so I can influence the skill of the month.
Oh, drop a cue. You could do dungeoneering.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Drop a cue into the random system. Yes.
Oh, yeah. They're always random except for when a new skill comes out. All right. Definitely going to be interesting to see the way that that one pans out.
Yeah, and if Dungeoneering comes up, I had nothing to do with it, I swear.
All right. Next up is the achievement of the week, and we're going to congratulate Poison Nova once again for achieving 120 Dungeoneering. Congratulations to you. That is indeed a big one, isn't it?
Wow.
Indeed. I am jealous of you, Poison Nova.
He's been... Yes. So I guess that's what was distracting him, because he was flatlined those first couple of days on the skill of the month before he really popped up with the skill, but he was distracted with Dungeoneering.
Congratulations, Poison Nova. Dungeoneering, we're not sure if it's skill, but if you consider it skill, excellent. And I don't ever plan on getting 120 Dungeoneering.
You'll have to do it with me, Shane. I'll make it
no,
fun.
No. What are you at currently?
I'm at 107.
Oh, I'm only at 91.
That's okay.
Yeah, we got to get ready for floor 61, don't we? The quest.
Whenever that comes.
Oh,
that's
yes.
Probably not going to be out till like 2 years from now, so.
I'm betting August or September for that.
I don't know. I would say a fall or winter update, because that's when they seem to drop.
Considering...
We voted for that in December. That's why I say July or August.
Yeah, but it lost.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it did. That's why I wrote my Informer article on the Myarchy series.
Oh, right.
The Vampire Quest one.
Right. Okay. See, I got confused, because that title... for that episode was initially going to be Team Edward for Floor 61.
Nice.
Anyways, moving on from that, speaking of Informer, you two, last month, the month of April ended, and we didn't have a chance to discuss the roundup. So a great amount of articles that we had in April, starting with, you know, a very... fun April Fools that was planned by Earth, in which, I was banned from RSVNB.
And
a new administration was brought in. Oh dear. But yes, a great amount of articles coming in this month. Alex talking about the silent majority in RuneScape. You, Colton,
yes.
The vampires. Basically, a quest summary, so to speak, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And Mr. Bistro, once again, talking about quests and why you got into them. I'm glad that you two wrote these, because Mr. Bistro, not enough people do quests for the lore. And I hope we can convince some people to ultimately go down that path and just start doing them for the lore and not the rewards at the end of the day.
Yeah, I really did just, you know, pull up a skill guide and go through them. But, I mean, a quest guide. But now... I just enjoy actually doing the quests. Like, the last quest I did, it said it would take, like, half an hour, and I spent, like, an hour and a half on it because I was actually reading through everything. Just, I don't know, I enjoyed it so much.
It's more immersive that way.
Yeah,
I concur.
It's surprisingly immersive. Like, even that Broken Home quest when I did that one, that was so fun to figure out. Like, I enjoyed that quest.
Did it scare you?
You know what? Surprisingly, there, I don't know if I'm spoiling anything, but there was one part where I actually jumped, and I was just like, holy shit, this game made me jump. This game has never made me do anything like this before, and I jumped. Like, I literally ran to my other roommates, and I'm just like, guess what? RuneScape made me jump. And they're like, what? Since when? So I was just blown away. It was awesome.
And there you have it, folks. That's one reason you should definitely consider doing quests. And Colton talked about the vampires and your summary. I think that was a good thing to do. We're going to change it up a bit next time you do it, but it's still going to keep the same general feel about it. So if you haven't done the vampire quest in a long time, definitely have a read through his. All these and more can be found at informer.rsbnb.com, including a topic from Lord Rickles entitled The Great Update Rate Debate.
what is that assonance, I think, is what that's called.
That alliteration? No,
that's at the beginning of it. Oh, it's semantics.
Yeah, okay. And, of course, Age of Aquariums, where Tanis talked about the aquariums. But I was, last week I was going to mention this, and I didn't. I had wanted to talk about this, but I didn't. And it was what I wrote that month, entitled Don't Be Evil, something that Google has long preached and seems to have recently have been lost on them with their foray into lobbying and ultimately trying to influence what their users see with search based on so-called truthfulness. So I go into, should the internet really try and limit what you see based on truthfulness, or should you just get the complete unfiltered internet based on the terms that you answer? And ultimately, at the end of the day, should Google be acting as a for-profit corporation, at least the arm that handles search, when so many people rely on this day to day? It's almost become more of like a public service that people need to rely on.
Honestly, if that ever came to be, it should just be an option, because limiting anything on the internet, I really disagree with.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to be all based on algorithms. So the more things that mention something as true based on, a scholarly source, for example, whether or not people agree with that, that's going to be true, and it's going to be demoted to second page, probably. And as we all know, if you're on the second page of Google, you don't exist. But all that and more at informer.rsbnb.com. Give it all a read. Don't be evil. So, Colton, you have a pick of the week, I believe.
That I do. I don't know if you guys out there have ever heard of the Wheel of Time book series, but it's one that I've held dear to my heart for quite a while. And just a little quick background on it. It actually started way back in 1990 with the original author, Robert Jordan. He started with a book called The Eye of the World, continued to The Great Hunt, and wrote 11 large, thick, dense, beautiful novels until, unfortunately, he died in 2007 before he could finish his life's work. He had notes and stuff setting around, but never was able to finish it. So after his death, a guy, an author who was fairly close to Jordan, actually bought the rights from Jordan's wife for the remainder of the book series and published the last three books, making it a 14-book series. It is now complete, the last having been released in 2013. These books are high fantasy. I won't really go too much into the detail of the difference between low fantasy and high fantasy, but it's a very detailed world. Jordan does a great job of painting rich pictures and does great job with character development and endears you to each character. And it's a lot about growing up and trying to fit a role that has been set for you. It's really interesting. It's sort of a coming of age, at least part of it. And the audiobooks, as I mentioned earlier, on this read through, I've actually been doing the audiobooks, and they have been they're done very well. I can vouch for that on Audible and all kinds of audiobook streaming services. They have a male and a female reader for the male and female chapters and sections and everything. They do a great job with it. So if you're interested in reading awesome stories, if you like Lord of the Rings, that kind of stuff, then give it a try.
All right. That sounds very good. What's the whole premise of it?
It's sort of hard to explain, I guess. You're thrown. Basically, you start out with three different characters who start out at. You kind of learn along with them what the world is based on. You're discovering the system of magic that and the rules in that world, and it's kind of complicated and a little difficult to explain just sort of at the drop of a hat, but trust me, it grabs you by the throat and it keeps you there. So they're very good.
All right, that sounds very good, and I'm sure you can find this on Amazon, Audible, pretty much any bookstore, I would assume. All right, sounds good to me.
I'll probably have to look at that stuff after I move, because right now I'm avoiding my library like the plague.
You should check them out.
Yeah.
So, what have we been up to? Let's start with you, Mr. Bistro.
Just a lot of work. Been pulling really, really long shifts, getting plenty of OT. But I'm about to graduate from college. That's going to be awesome. And I'm looking for a place to live in, as I said before. As for RuneScape, I've just been doing quests and bosses, so nothing special there.
Of course. How about you, Colton?
This week, actually, today's Friday, right?
The 8th, correct.
Okay, then I just finished my last exam today. I'm sorry, I'm running on 3 hours of sleep. I couldn't sleep last night because I was my brain was being racked. But yeah, I finished up my first year of college, and so that was fun. I'm just looking forward to summer of work and all that good stuff. Hooray!
Very good. So, now...
You, Shane?
I can tell you about what I did this week. I can tell you about what I did on RuneScape. I can tell you about lots of things. But, you know, rather than saying that, you know, I went to the Glacehorse, tested out my wands, got a set of Glavian boots, and, you know, just continuing on the farming, doing the ports, that kind of thing, I think I want to start with something a little bit more profound this week. That is something that everybody should try and keep in mind, I think, going forward. Now, here in Canada, we have what are called provinces, which are similar to the states in the U.S. The provinces have their own form of government, just like the state governments do. And our province, Alberta, was under the rule of one political party since 1971. So what we did is we actually made some history this week and changed our government for the first time in 44 years. Now, this is, you know, something that ultimately did defy expectations for people. People didn't expect it to happen. But it did because people went out and voted for some kind of change. So the general rule of thumb out there is that if you're, you know, on the fence about an election coming up or something like that in your area, get yourself educated. Go out there and learn about the process and the people who are running. Because if you do that, you will make an informed choice and you will be a part of the group that changes things one way or another. So the message this week isn't exactly that that happened, but it's more of a just a way of saying to you guys that you might think that one thing doesn't matter, but when something just gets ingrained into people's way and it becomes a constant over 44 years, there becomes a time when change is needed and it becomes apparent as to how things actually work out in the world that's a bit different than actually the rest of the world, because we, it's basically like living in a one-party state when you think of it. That's what we've been living under for all these years. So that's the message, is just to get involved with that, because 70 years ago, there was a celebration for the end of World War II in which freedoms like that were fought for and won. 70 years ago today, victory in Europe.
No,
so
I
next
think
time
that
a vote comes around, definitely make yourself aware and participate.
I think that when you're voting, you really got to think just beyond yourself and how what you're voting for is going to affect your society. And yeah, change is necessary sometimes, and you really got to attune to that and attune to pretty much to the direction that would be best for everybody.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing. You can say what's going on, but when you actually make something like that count, it's a reminder of why we do that and why it's important to take part. And that is the lesson of the week. That is what I did this week. And everybody should do that once in a while.
Go vote, everyone.
The more you know, the better decision you'll make. Yep.
Do you have a sound clip for that?
Is it copyrighted?
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't know. But. All right, so that wraps up this edition of RSBNB Update. Kind of long, but we did do some pretty good discussion on the Saren spells and prayers. So that was worth it.
Yeah, we filled your ears with joy for almost 2 hours.
Yes, lots of stuff to do while playing RS. And with that being said, thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone. It's been RSBNB Update, and we will see you next week.
Bye.
Goodbye.